David Hawkins is editor of the Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here, blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ, the Bible of Congress, since 1995. David, everybody's talking about the upcoming vote on the Iran nuclear deal. So take us through the combinations, permutations, and the way that it's working.
Well, the way it works is that Congress passed legislation earlier in the year giving itself guaranteeing that it could take a vote on this nuclear deal.
And for some reason, the president signed that, right?
The president signed it because that's exactly right, because in the end, it passed overwhelmingly, I think 99-1 in the Senate and by with only a couple of dozen votes against it in the House. And the president signed it because he concluded then what I think is he's increasingly confident of, which is that he can win in the end. Congress will not be able to successfully vote against the deal. Now, the question, up until just a few days ago, it had appeared as if his goal line stance to preserve the deal in Congress was going to be that he would have to veto this disapproval legislation and then have his veto sustained by the Senate. That, up until just very recently, was the default setting. The way that would, what that would mean is that only 34 senators would have to take his side, and he could have his veto sustained, and effectively continue with the deal. It has appeared as though maybe the House will vote first and will take his side. That would require 190 House members to side with the president, and then he could win on the veto in the House, and it would never even get to the Senate. But there is some suggestion in recent days that the president could come up with the 40 senators that he needs to prevent this legislation from ever getting to an up or down vote. At the moment, he's got 31, and as you and I talk, he's got 31 guaranteed votes to his side. He's very confident that he'll get to 34 in the next couple of days. And he is even, I won't say confident, but he's working hard now to get his magic number up to 40.
So does he have any Republicans at all yet?
He does not. As a matter of fact, he has every Senate Republican has announced against the deal except for one, Susan Collins of Maine. As you and I talk, she is the only officially undecided senator on the Republican side. But it is also true that so far only two Democrats have actually announced against the deal. They just happen to be two extremely prominent and important Democrats, both from the Northeast. Robert Menendez, who is the senior Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and Chuck Schumer, of course, who is not only New York senior senator, but is also in line to be the next leader of the Senate Democrats come 2017.
And who is also running for office himself in a year, I guess. So
I guess that's true. Yes. Those of us in Washington are so taking that for granted that I've forgotten that. But thanks for the reminder.
Well, pretty important, I guess, because he has a huge Jewish constituency. I'm Jewish, and I would vote for him. But he has a huge constituency, and maybe he couldn't afford to alienate them. I don't know.
That would be one reason. And when he announced that he was going to oppose the deal, he as I recall, it's been a few weeks now, but he did do it to a Jewish audience of some kind, and he talked about balancing all of his different roles. One of his biggest roles in public life, he said, was to be a defender of Israel. And so this is what his view is, that Israel would be imperiled if this deal goes through.
But in the meantime, back at the ranch, Kirsten Gillibrand, the other senator, has announced that she's going to stay with the president on this deal. And one wonders whether or not there couldn't have been some kind of conversation between Chuck and Kirsten, in which Chuck says to Kirsten, go your way, my dear.
One does have to wonder about that. I also think it's reasonable to wonder whether Chuck Schumer, whose current job as essentially the deputy majority leader in the Senate to Harry Reid, what part of his job is to count the votes on his side of the aisle. He's a pretty good vote counter. He knows how to do that job pretty well. I would not be surprised that if in the fullness of time we learn that at the time he already knew that the 34 votes were in place for the president to get what he wanted. That having been said, the White House was clearly furious at Chuck Schumer for doing this. They felt like it set their momentum back. It made them work even harder than they might have already had to work. This is not the first time that Schumer has broken with the White House on something relatively prominent. He said earlier this year that he thought spending all the president's political capital on Obamacare in his first year in office was a bad idea. He has been sort of much more of a thorn in the Obama White House's side than the White House would have wanted.
In the meantime, back at the ranch, Joe Biden is now being perceived as a real threat to Hillary Clinton. Do you think that's so?
Wow. Well, I think he is a potential big threat, although with each passing day, it becomes harder and harder for Biden to put together the kind of organization and money that he would need to make himself a real threat. He has now been publicly flirting with the idea of getting in the race for several weeks, but has still not done any of the formalities necessary to even really keep his options open. For example, he could have created a fundraising committee even without announcing that he was running, but he hasn't done that. So it's getting amazing to think, you know, out in the real country, people think this sounds crazy when I say it's getting a little late in the game, but it is. I mean, if you want to be the Democratic nominee for president, especially in a year when organizationally and financially one candidate has been working so hard to kind of sew things up early, it is getting a little late.
Well, of course, let's not forget the Justice Department and their investigation into Hillary's emails.
Absolutely true. If I could even offer a credible prediction as to how that's going to turn out, I would be, I should probably be doing a different job than the one I'm doing. I don't know where that's going to go. The history of such things, these sort of what we call around our newsroom, the drip, drip, drip kind of case, is that the drips just keep going and they never really stop. And that, so presumably there is something else to happen, whether it's just a drip, whether it's a torrent, you know, whether it's something truly actionable, I don't think we know yet. Joe Biden's best option, to be a little bit crass about it, his best opportunity would be if something debilitating to the Clinton candidacy happens, and other Democrats really start to look for an alternative. Whether even then they would look to Biden, or whether they would think that he is too old, too beholden to the financial services industry, the Democratic Party is looking for, as the Republicans are, this is one of the reasons why Trump is so popular, many people in both parties are saying they're looking for a fresh face. Hillary Clinton is clearly not a fresh face, but she's got sort of the market cornered still, more or less, at the moment. If she falls apart, will the Democrats be willing to look at another veteran of the establishment, or will they want to try and find somebody who's an outsider? I don't think that would be Bernie Sanders. I think it would put enormous pressure on Elizabeth Warren, who has now said no. But if her candidacy somehow stalls out, Democratic players would look very, very hard and would court Elizabeth Warren very seriously as someone who would be the gender barrier breaker, A, and B, would speak as an outsider to the sort of same populist anti-corporate message that Bernie Sanders is now appealing to.
We are talking to David Hawkins, editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of The Hawkins Here, a blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ, the Bible of Congress, since 1995. David Hawkins, we'll come back and we'll talk to you some more soon.
Thank you, sir.